Open any newspaper in Michigan and you will find news about the Flint water crisis. But this week, Current State's going beyond the headlines and the sound bites to hear what life is like in a city where the water from the faucet is toxic. Today in our Faces of Flint series, we meet Laura McIntyre, a mother who's rooting for her hometown even as she deals with the day-to-day struggle of living without clean tap water. MSU journalism student Eva Nienhaus brings us her story.
Laura McIntyre grabs her keys and climbs into her Grand Caravan with her family. They buckle their seatbelts and head to the Flint Fire Station.
So where do we go, Sean, to pick up the water?
Go down Flushing to then turn left on Martin Luther King.
Okay.
Laura lives in Flint, Michigan with her husband, Sean, and their three kids.
This is our first time going to a water station.
The fire station is about 4 miles from their home.
7 minutes by car.
Laura says her family stopped drinking the water as soon as the city switched to the Flint River.
Because nobody has any answers, nobody has any direct information, and we can't trust our city management.
Almost immediately, Laura began to notice problems with the water coming out of her tap.
The water smelled funny, it tasted funny, it looked funny. The water consistency was different day by day, hour by hour, and you know, we didn't know that at that time that there was poison in it, but we did want some answers. Like, why did the water smell that bad? Why did it, you know, taste that bad? Why did it look like that? We wanted answers.
Laura and other Flint residents wouldn't get those answers until nearly a year and a half later. In October of 2015, Governor Rick Snyder finally acknowledged that the city had failed to treat the Flint River water with anti-corrosives. Service lines had been leaching lead-tainted water into homes and businesses for 17 months. The political fallout of this crisis is still ongoing. In March, members of Congress grilled Governor Snyder and former Flint emergency manager Darnell Early.
Blood testing needs to be open with you. I wish more would have been done.
Plausible deniability only works when it's plausible, and I'm not buying that you didn't know about any of this until October 2015.
But for Laura, finding the answers to what went wrong in Flint isn't about politics.
It's about privatizing resources and taking them away from, you know, the democratic input of the people.
The city has advised residents to only drink filtered or bottled water. For months, National Guard soldiers walked the neighborhoods of Flint passing out faucet filters. Families here make regular trips to the closest water station to stock up on bottled water. Now it's the McIntyre family's turn.
It looks like people are parking there, so I'm just going to pull up next to that car.
The National Guard, dressed in their uniform camouflage and tan boots, hand the McIntyre family their cases of water bottles.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you can carry it for somebody else. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
There's one case for each of the five family members. Carrying their cases of water, they head back to the van.
Wow, look at you, getting that all by yourself.
They load up the trunk with their supply and head for home.
Is everyone back in?
The McIntyres don't just use this water for drinking. They also brush their teeth and rinse their dishes with it.
Unfortunately, we don't have a water system for the house, so we're still washing our clothes in the water and hoping for the best. We're still washing ourselves in the water and hoping for the best. We leave the door open so that the fumes, that there isn't vapor in the air, because we've been told not to breathe the vapor. Yeah, just to use bottled water for everything.
Every morning, Laura sends her three kids to school with a water bottle in their backpack. And that's important because children are most vulnerable to lead.
Now it's being provided for them. They're not even allowed to drink out of the drinking fountains at school.
By now, most of the kids in Flint know to avoid the tap, including Laura's daughter, Eben. She's 14 and a student in the Flint school system.
Like, if I see someone going over to take a drink from the water fountain, I'll, like, stop them. Like, I remember, like, the first week of school, I didn't know anybody. And this girl was like, can I go get a drink from the water fountain? I literally stood up and I grabbed her hand, like, told her don't.
Pediatrician Dr. Mona Hanna-Atisha is being hailed as one of the heroes of the Flint water crisis. She found that since a switch to the Flint River water, the percentage of children with lead poisoning has doubled.
I mean, how can you ignore that? How can you dismiss that? And yet it was. And, you know, we still had the denial. We still had the mocking. We still had, it's okay, you're imagining it, you're making it up, it's in your head. It's not as bad as you're saying it is. Lead. You can't fix lead. It is permanent. It is forever. You can't go back.
But while Laura knows the city can't go back, she still has hope that it can move forward.
There's just so many wonderful things about this city. It's a city. You know, I've lived in other cities as well. Cities have problems. They, you know, all cities do. But there is a resilience about Flint.
Laura feels at home in Flint. She's raised three kids here. She's watched her son play with Legos in the living room and listened to Eben practice her ukulele.
You know, it was always my goal to, when I went off to college and to graduate school, it was my goal to return.
Still, when Laura thinks about the future, it looks a little muddier than it used to. She says she thinks all the time about whether or not she'll stay in Flint. On the good days, Laura says she can see a future for her family and for the city she's called home for so many years.
But at this point, with lead being in the water and me having three children and a family, I'm not sure I can do it anymore. And I never thought I'd, you know, be in that position where I would say that. You know, there have been challenges, there have been stumbling blocks, but I don't know. There's something about this that's just, it's finally worn me down.
For Current State, this is Evening House.
This piece was edited by Current State producer April Van Buren. Tomorrow on Faces of Flint, we meet a doctor and entrepreneur who's betting on Flint's comeback despite the water crisis.
You hear about all this great sort of urban revitalization in these other cities in Michigan. You think, well, there's no reason Flint couldn't have that.
Video shorts from our Faces of Flint series can be seen immediately following the PBS NewsHour all this week on WKAR-TV, and you can also find all of our coverage from the series at WKAR.org.